Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ Descanso, 89.1 FM, recording at our studio here in East County. Today, my very special guest is Kenya Taylor. She's one of four candidates running for county supervisor in District 2 to fill the seat being vacated by Diane Jacob due to term limits. She's a licensed marriage and family therapist who also holds degrees in sociology and counseling from San Diego State University. She grew up right here in East County, graduated from Valhalla High School, and has lived with her family in Rancho San Diego for the past 30 years. In her work, she's traveled throughout the district, including rural and urban areas, working in schools and primary health care settings, helping children, seniors, the homeless, the mentally ill, and others. She says she's passionate about the health and well-being of our communities. Kenya, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Miriam.
So, can you start by telling us why you decided to run for supervisor?
Well, I decided to run for County Board of Supervisors after looking at the budget and looking at how the budget is divided. I have a background, as you mentioned, as a licensed marriage and family therapist with extensive training in health and human services, which is the bulk of the budget. And I noticed the homeless problems in our county are getting worse in addition to economic solutions. It's important for us to have someone with the expertise to address these issues so we could save the county money, but also have the county live well and thrive, like the motto is for the county.
Very good. Now, for those listeners who might not know if they're in the 2nd District or not, can you tell us what communities are included?
Yes. District 2 for the Supervisorial District is the largest in the county with 2,000 square miles, including Rancho San Diego, where I live, El Cajon, La Mesa, Lemon Grove, Spring Valley, Jamul, Potrero, Campo, Boulevard, all the way to the Imperial County line and the border, going over to Julian, Ramona, Santee, Lakeside, and just everywhere in between. It's the largest area, but it's very unique because of the diversity with urban, rural, and suburban communities.
Definitely. So tell us what your major goals are if you're elected.
There's three things. Number one, economic solutions and opportunities. A number of people have went to our wonderful higher education locations here in San Diego, but after they graduate, they have to leave because they can't afford to purchase a home or even buy rent. Economic solutions is an opportunity for us to support our small business owners. It's an opportunity for us to create more wealth in San Diego County, have the careers for 2021, the year 2025, 2030. We need to be more competitive, and it's important for the County Board of Supervisors to look at that and figure out how that affects the entire budget. We spend $2 billion under Health and Human Services, the Welfare Office, Family Resource Center is what it's called now, mental health, substance abuse, homelessness. As a licensed mental health provider, what I find is most of my patients and clients over the last two decades say finances are a major issue. So if we fix the problem directly, we'll have our community members get better so all of us live well.
Yeah, we have one of the highest costs of living of really of any place in the United States. So it's a big issue.
It's a huge issue, and it's only getting worse. It's harder for people to live here, and we want people to stay so we could have their talents here in town. In addition to economic solutions, we want to make sure we're safe. There's a big issue with fires in our area. We don't want to be the next Paradise, California.
Absolutely.
We want to make sure we have opportunities to invest in our first responders so we stay safe. We don't want anyone else's home burned down.
Yeah. Well, let's go into detail on some of these issues, starting with housing, which seems to be the biggest concern, housing and homelessness that we hear about.
Yes.
How would you balance the demands for more housing, especially affordable housing, against concerns over sprawl development in rural areas and concerns among some urban residents over high-rise projects, you know, where they're concerned about character of their communities. Can we do both? How do we accomplish this?
We could do both and we could do more. It's important for us to look at housing first opportunities for our homeless community members. We could also increase the amount of accessory dwelling units where you could take your existing properties, add another unit on your property that's between 600 square feet to 1200 square feet and put that on your property. You could have someone live on your property. If you're having illness, you could have someone on site taking care of you. Some people have thought, well, maybe that's a good opportunity for college students to have a win-win for the person trying to increase their income. So that's one opportunity. There's a huge difference, though, from the person making $30,000 a year to $300,000 a year.
Definitely.
I remember having family members who used to flip houses. They mm-hmm. would purchase them. Some people still want to do those things.
Yeah.
We need something for everybody. But one of the strongest things about our campaign is we want to expand the middle class. I'm not quite sure where they are anymore. We want to make sure we have opportunities for people to grow.
Very good. Now, you have said that you support Measure A, while both of your opponents have been on the show, Joel Anderson and Steve Voss, and they have said that they oppose it. I should say the two major opponents. There is a fourth one we haven't interviewed yet. Mm-hmm. Measure A would give voters the final say on large housing projects that require waivers of the county general plan. Supporters say that it's needed to prevent sprawl development that could cause traffic gridlock in high fire risk rural areas, although opponents say they think supervisors should have the final say to make sure that, you know, they can waive it for housing if they think it's needed. Can you please explain your position on Measure A?
Yes, I am completely in favor of A. And the reason is I want to make sure safety is our number one priority. We deserve to be safe. Right after the Cedar Fire in 2003, I began working in our rural communities, not just in District 2, but I was hired specifically in Ramona. However, I worked all the way down to Borrego, Julian, Campbell, and all the backcountry. It's important for us to be safe. It's important for us to build closer to transit and places of employment. We have gridlock in the backcountry. As somebody who's worked in our rural communities for nearly two decades, I want to make sure we have safe evacuation routes. And the more traffic we have, the likelihood of more people becoming ill. In addition to making sure we decrease our greenhouse emissions, it's important for us to make sure that we have that housing opportunities closer to the city, so we could relieve congestion, but also we could take care of issues surrounding our environment as well.
Yeah, very good points. Do you have a position on Measure B, which deals with the Newland Sierra project up in North County that, from my understanding, was approved by supervisors over the objections of the community planning group up there, and it has a density of something like 20 times higher than what the general plan allowed?
Yes, so as I said, I'm yes on A and no on B.
Okay.
I believe it's important for us to really look at what our environmentalists have been saying and utilize the science that's there to help make sure we maintain our open space, mm-hmm. maintain healthy open spaces, but also reduce congestion. And we need to build in locations closer to transit and our jobs.
Okay. Your opponents have taken money from developers. They say they may sometimes vote with them, sometimes vote against them. Have you taken money from developers? And if so, how would you avoid conflicts of interest?
I have not taken any money from developers. People have said, well, Kenya, how are you going to survive this campaign? Even you haven't raised as much as your opponents. I am running for this position to be the people's supervisor. It's important to listen to the people. It's important to continue to build on projects that work. The developers have not been building the over 160,000 homes that we need to address the needs of housing. People have been taking money, but we still haven't had housing or quality housing. In addition to that, our roads aren't the best. Every time it rains, which it's raining out here in San Diego, we need to make sure we're working and getting things done that work, not short-term solutions. So it's important to not take all this money from developers and be bought, because the people are who matter, not just a select few.
Okay. On a related note, and this is a question, I wish I thought of it when I had the other two candidates on, but I thought of this one just today. So if they're listening and they want to send me in their answers on this one, we'll publish it. But we get a lot of complaints lately arising from the fact that in our county, unlike in some other places, the Department of Development Services allows contractors to pick their own experts on and decide who will write the environmental impact reports, which insiders are telling us has led, as you might expect, to some corruption of the results. For example, we hear from wildlife biologists and cultural resource monitors who tell us they were pressured to hide findings of endangered species and Native American artifacts, or told they'd be blackballed and they can't, you know, they won't get any more jobs here. Do you think that the county, maybe it's okay to make the developers pay for the reports, but should the county be the one picking which experts will write the EIRs so that they're not beholden on pleasing the developer to keep their jobs?
I'm running for this position because we need more transparency. People are definitely concerned of not losing money or voting in certain ways so they will continuously be funded. I'm unbought, so I could say what I want. But it's important that the people's voices are heard. When we run for office, we're not running to represent ourselves. We're running to represent the people. And so it alarms me on this campaign trail every single day, knowing that people are scared to really vocalize their concern because their money will be cut if they go against the exact people who are funding them. It's a major problem. The County Board of Supervisors must do more to stop it, because this is about saving lives. This is about the economic solutions, the safety, and my last priority that we didn't talk about earlier, our health and wellness opportunities. We need to put people before profits.
Kenya, what is your approach to easing the homelessness crisis in our region against the backdrop of the recent Supreme Court ruling, which held that law enforcement cannot just arrest the homeless for sleeping in public places if there are no shelter beds available?
I believe in the housing first model. I also don't believe in fining people for sleeping in their cars. I think we should have more safe parking spaces. I also believe we need to figure out why the people are homeless and figure out employment opportunities, career changes. I've seen a number of veterans who have been sleeping in their car or homeless. We need more resources now to address financial opportunities, like in Campo, where they had an old barracks, they turned the barracks into apartment complexes. I would love to see tiny home communities built in San Diego County, but specifically in District 2. It hasn't been done yet. We need innovation, and I would love to be the area that would start something like that as a quick fix, in addition to accessory dwelling units that could help address the homeless problem.
Very exciting idea. We've seen that certainly in some other cities popping up, so it'd be interesting to see how that works out here. On jobs, what ideas do you have to bring good-paying jobs to East County? We certainly have very high poverty rates in areas like El Cajon, but also in some of the rural towns out there.
Mm-hmm. One of the first things I would like to build on the work that I've done for years is to bring apprenticeship programs back into the schools. When I was in grade school, we had auto shop mechanics. We had home economics. I would love to see even journalism, although I was only part of our yearbook staff at Valhalla High School.
Oh, good for you.
We had a wonderful newspaper. There's so much to cover these days. But also, when we get students involved in things like journalism or music or art, we don't have as much depression and anxiety where the bulk of the budget is. It's an opportunity to help people, our youth, with self-care and wellness, but also give them a long-term career. That's one of the things. Also, coding is a big issue.
Computer coding.
Our healthcare system needs more coders, but people are living longer. We need more people who can code so we could get the work done in our hospitals.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that can even be done remotely, I understand.
Absolutely.
Very good. So absolutely. Good options for people out there in the mountain and rural areas. What about the area around Gillespie Field? There's been some talk of developing that area, bringing in other types of businesses. What do you think about that?
Well, I'm always concerned about aviation because there have been people who've reported to me on this campaign trail that they've had soot on their property, on their fruit, on their yards, even their solar panels have had things on them. And so we need to make sure we have some transparency and more environmental studies there to make sure it's safe.
Yeah.
But because it's some areas are more of an industrial area.
So maybe be okay for industrial jobs, but not putting houses there.
There can be some, but at the same time, I don't want to put housing in a place that can be toxic.
Right, right.
Because
we're talking about housing there. The question was about jobs in that area. So bringing in maybe industries, or there's been talk about biotech, green tech companies.
Absolutely.
That has to be airport related in some way.
Absolutely. When we think about the large areas that employ people, they're in Sorrento Valley, Kearney Mesa, and downtown. Why not bring big business to District 2? It only makes sense. If we're talking about increasing salaries, we shouldn't have to spend all our money on gas to get to Northern San Diego.
Well, good point. And it cuts down on gridlock.
Yes, it does.
You don't have people going to jobs somewhere
else. Yes, it does.
As you've mentioned, health and human service is a huge part of the budget for the county, and you've indicated you don't think enough attention is paid to that. Can you tell us what your priorities would be within health and human services, Kenya?
Yes. Again, as a licensed marriage and family therapist, I've worked with hundreds, even thousands of people who stated finances are their number one concern. If we can bring those jobs, like we just talked about, to District 2 and the entire county, depression and anxiety will go down. Most families have met with me and they have a concern about paying for transportation, sending their kids to college. Can they purchase a Christmas present for their grandchild or even childcare, which is a major issue?
Sure.
People talk about behavioral health or mental health, but a lot of people are stressed because of finances. We can cut down mental health issues with more career opportunities that have higher salaries. 1, 2, and 3 jobs, unfortunately, don't give people the salary that they need to pay for rent, let alone a mortgage.
What about for people who do have mental health issues that aren't related so much to stress, but because of, you know, a physical diagnosis, say schizophrenia or something like that? Okay. Should more be done to help those with mental health, including homeless people?
I think more should be done in a comprehensive setting, but I disagree with putting people in jail who have schizophrenia.
Yeah.
That is unacceptable. One of the things that I know is that as someone who's worked in a reentry program where people were incarcerated, they were released, and I asked, before you went to jail, what kind of medications were you on? They would say, I wasn't. I was on drugs. They were medicated, in jail, they're released, and there hasn't been a lot of correlation with their behaviors over time. We need to make sure people are diagnosed appropriately. We are supporting our mental health providers so they get the training, the expertise they need. But we also need to address substance abuse.
Yeah. And what about opioid addiction?
Opioid addiction, absolutely. As somebody who was working as an independent contractor, I know what it's like to be in a car accident working for myself and can't go to work because I was smashed in between two cars.
I've had that happen too.
And yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's life-altering.
It's life-altering. But if you are the sole provider for your family or you're supporting your spouse and kids, that could make you want to drink, not knowing how you'll pay the next bill.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Or take that prescription. The doctor, so often our healthcare system doesn't cover things like chiropractic, massage therapy,
Yes. You know,
even medical marijuana, but it will cover opioid pills.
Exactly. And part of Health and Human Services, which is the largest part of the county budget, we need those opportunities here. We've seen great work in the state of Washington where they have alternative medicine. Now, in addition to me being a mental health provider, I have a certification in primary care behavioral health and geriatric mental health, where I created programs in the Ramona Senior Center in the backcountry, also working to develop programs to address pain management. And I was part of the county program of the year in 2015 as a best practices, doing mindfulness meditation, figuring out additional ways to increase wellness. They work, they save money, and we could be utilizing more money to fix our roads using natural healing methods that work versus medication that cause people to become dependent.
Yeah, speaking of roads, what are your priorities for improving roads and assuring that East County gets its fair share of funding for transportation projects in our region? And I should add, I guess, balancing, you know, the real need to address the greenhouse gas issue, which often, very often, the solution of transit is put forward. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we have areas that already have gridlock from development that's been allowed out here. Mm-hmm. How do we walk that tightrope, so to speak, and make sure that East County's needs are taken care of?
Yes. On this campaign trail, I have mentioned to several electeds and our community members, east of the 125 can no longer be forgotten. It's important for us to go forward with the five big moves. Living in Washington, D.C., going to Northern California where there's a BART, the Metro in D.C., we should have fast transportation. We should have had transportation from East County to the airport by now. It's also important not to expand the roads. We saw what happened in Houston. They had a 26-lane highway that only caused more traffic. I would like to see things that we could do now, such as on the 125. I left Santee the other day. There was a very short portion I was able to be in the carpool lane.
Yeah.
And then it stopped and the traffic came to a stop.
What about Highway 52, Highway 67, Highway 94? Those are three that we hear a lot of complaints about.
There are. I would like to see right now what we could do short term is find ways, or I know there's money, it doesn't take a lot of money, to have more carpool lanes. But also, if there's a way to have hubs where they could take us to places of popular work sites, such as downtown, Kearney Mesa, and Sereno Valley, because there's been a lot of research and studies on where the bulk of the transportation is going in the morning and in the evening. If we have hubs where we could have car services taking us in the short term, that can definitely reduce the congestion on the road. 10% reduction in traffic is a huge improvement based on the studies. We could do that now, but we need long-term solutions. We should have high transportation going at 90, 100 miles an hour to get us from point A to point B. So I'm really in favor of the big move so we could start with having innovation in San Diego. The trolley's not working, not to mention it doesn't get us where we need to go.
Okay. Sand mines are proposed in Lakeside's El Monte Valley and Rancho San Diego in areas that are rich in wildlife and close to homes. I know that supervisorial candidates aren't supposed to give a position on a specific project that you may have to vote on because you don't have to recuse out as having shown bias. But to what degree do you believe that concerns about health impacts, wildlife habitat, equestrian areas, traffic noise, valley fever, which you got the spores out there in Lakeside, should be taken into account when weighing those concerns against demand for local sources of sand for roads and construction projects?
Safety is my number one priority. As a working professional in the East County for over two decades, I feel very disrespected that people would want to put sand mines next to a school in Cottonwood. That's not okay. There's a day treatment program for kids, some of the most vulnerable people. That's unacceptable. There's a senior living center not too far by my home too. That's unacceptable. In addition, toxins in the environment create more health problems.
Yeah.
I've worked a lot with public health issues. In addition, I also serve as the co-chair of the behavioral health work group for the East region, for the county. We need to make sure we're safe. That type of opportunity would cause disaster. It'll cause disease, illness, more behavioral problems. When there's dirt and contamination, it can breed disease, and it will. Not to mention, now we have higher wind gusts that I've never seen before in my lifetime. When wind blows, the dust will blow too. And it's not fair, but most importantly, it's not safe for us to have to go through that. And I'm saying, no, we don't want that now, because that is something as a resident in an unincorporated area, my family and your family could get sick behind something so dangerous. That's unacceptable, especially with those strong winds we have now.
Okay. Well, thank you for that.
Thank you.
Another issue, residents in places such as Campo, Hacumba, and Boulevard have voiced concerns about negative impacts of some of the big wind farms and other big energy projects out there, with even more of these proposed. There is, of course, a push for green energy, which is a great idea. We need to address climate change, and I think most folks out there agree, but the turbines in that area have already caused brush fires. There's been several that exploded. They've hurled off multi-ton blades onto public trails near homes. Residents complain of blade flicker, flashing red lights in their bedroom windows, noise, infrasound, headaches, loss of sleep, even cancer with stray voltage 1,000 times higher than normal coming up in some of the homes closest to these turbines, and yet more are proposed. And, of course, a loss of property values as well, and they've not been compensated for any of that. So my question is, can we achieve green energy goals without forcing rural residents to be surrounded by wind turbines taller than the highest skyscrapers downtown? And a follow-up pair of questions with that is, a lot of them were calling on the county to do a health study on the impacts of the people right here, especially, you know, some of the Indian tribes that are affected by this. The county so far, they wouldn't do it. Do you think a health study should be done before any more of these are approved? And should decreases in property value, if they occur, be treated the way we treat freeways? If we decide a freeway has to be built for the greater good, at least we go out and offer the property owner the option to be bought out or to be compensated for the reduced property value.
I don't favor a decrease in anybody's property value. I think that's ludicrous.
Okay.
I really do. Yes, some people would want to be bought out. However, it's important for them to know, where are you going to buy a new unit? Or yeah. A new place to live, because everyone doesn't have $800,000 to spend for a new home.
Right.
And a number of people in our rural communities, property value isn't that much to begin with. So while a lump sum of money seems okay, everyone doesn't have $5,000 a month for mortgage.
So you're just saying we shouldn't put destructive projects near somebody's house out there to begin
with? We have to look at alternatives. There's more and more talk about different options. But let me be very clear about this. People are trying to have District 2 as the dumping ground for homeless, environmental issues, and it needs to stop. We need to protect the residents of District 2. All the, whether it's sand mines that we just talked about, yes, we want green energy, but if it's going to keep us up at night, that's going to impair someone's health.
Yeah.
That's not smart. That is the bulk of the budget for the county. And so we need to protect our people. And anything that does not protect our people compromises our safety and security.
So we should be looking at other ways of getting that green energy without putting these rural residents at risk, maybe solar in the urban areas, some of these other things.
Yes, until we could do more studies, we need to halt any additional opportunities there. But we also need to look at our native land, sacred tribal land that's there with artifacts. We talked about having open space. We don't want our pets sick, our agriculture sick, our farms dying or polluted. There's so many things that we need in District 2. We don't need another study for homelessness, but we do need more environmental impacts in District 2. We do have some land where we can build some small things.
Yeah.
But I don't want it to be the dumping ground that everybody else's problem in District 1, 3, 4, and 5 come to District 2. That's not fair to us. We deserve better.
Right, which we've seen a lot of. I hear that over and over from people. You mentioned agriculture. Do you have some ideas for supporting our local farmers and agriculture? Supervisor Jacobs certainly has taken the lead on this with some agritourism ideas and the tiered winery ordinance, beekeeping. They've made it easier. But do you have any thoughts?
Absolutely. I would love to see more wineries out this way if people are interested. I heard there's a big demand for more wineries, but I know in Ramona there's several.
Yeah. My favorite beet to cover.
Okay. But also going back to one of my priorities about economic solutions. I support our business owners, but I also support more opportunities in our schools. I remember El Capitan, they have an ag program there. Mm-hmm. And I would love to see more programs in the schools, whether it's 4-H or just programs dealing with agriculture, but also supporting our farmers. And if there's a way to increase organic farming, I would love to see that. With my background working in primary care for nearly 7 years, specifically to address health and wellness, I've seen symptoms decrease when people had more organic diets. Now, again, I'm not a doctor. Yeah. However, being in that setting with the work that I was doing and programs I developed, there's a lot of wellness that comes with clean farming, not to mention there's a lot of respiratory issues and other health issues that could happen when we have a polluted environment.
Well, that's true. All those pesticides and herbicides are definitely not healthy.
Yes.
Wildfires, of course, are probably the biggest concerns for everybody in East County, I think. Mm-hmm. Do you have any ideas for making our region safer from these devastating fires?
I do. One of the first things that we could do very soon is collaborate with all the first responders and teams that are there when we have an emergency. Just like we had duck and covers and fire drills, I think it would be imperative for us to have a fire drill where we're, I'll use the 67 as an example. Mm-hmm. We can open up a third lane and have the fourth lane for first responders so people could evacuate and get out. We need a plan so when we have that next big fire, we have a safety plan so we have all of our first responders, our support teams on the same page so people could be safe. We also have evacuation plans for our older adults or seniors. When people live in our rural communities such as Campbell and Potrero, sometimes it's hard to get out. We need opportunities to make that happen. In addition, I would love to increase the salaries of our first responders. They are working so hard for us. I am amazed at the number of suicides or depression that our first responders have.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It's terrible. We need to work with them to help support us. And more money should go into emergency response because we're having the coronavirus now. There's more discussions about other potential illnesses that could happen that are public safety issues. But our first responders, they need us and we need them. And so we need to be proactive and come up with more solutions, but also not have additional sprawl development in our area that will increase the likelihood of more fires.
Yeah, being trapped like in paradise.
Exactly.
I want to talk about the Julian situation for a minute. The county has taken over the former volunteer fire departments across the county, and in some places it seems to have worked okay. In Julian, however, we've heard a number of concerns from residents who say that fire and ambulance response times since the takeover have often been slower. They lost a house up there recently where the former fire chief had to stand and watch it burned because they were prohibited from going to help, and they could have been there faster than CAL FIRE, at least at that incident. CAL FIRE disputes that things are less safe. They say they're safer or the same. But so far, we haven't been able to get the response time records or the station staffing records. We've asked for some of this, and it has not been forthcoming. If you are elected, would you commit to insist upon getting and reviewing the response time records and station staffing records in that district since the takeover? And if it's found that they're falling short compared to what they had before, would you take action to assure the safety of Julian residents and visitors?
Yes, yes, and yes. I would also like to take it a step further. Why aren't we preparing our youth to become firefighters? Why would we take away volunteerism when people are only trying to improve the quality of our lives?
Yeah, there were 60 of them up there, and from what we understand,
that's a lot.
They could man 4 or 5 pieces of equipment.
That's a lot. When you have someone in a wheelchair or who walks with a cane or has an injury from Vietnam and they're trying to evacuate, we need all hands on deck to get people to a safe place. Not to mention, we don't want to lose any of our pets. Any of our horses. And so we've had our first responders there, but I don't want to take away from any great work that they're doing.
Yeah, no, but the CAL FIRE people are, I mean, they're brave. They're putting their lives on the line
exactly.
out there, but their priority is fighting those wildfires.
Yes.
And so the other issue is sometimes they get dispatched somewhere else to fight a wildfire.
Yes.
And in the past, you always had, you know, a unit or more than one unit, mm-hmm. that was dedicated to staying in the Julian area. And now there's been times where there's, you know, it doesn't seem to be happening.
The more resources, the better. We've had more fires in San Diego as well as the state of California. We need as many volunteers as possible to help support our firefighters.
Let's talk about ambulance response times. Mm-hmm. We hear a lot from people in the rural areas and even along, that it can take a long time for an ambulance to come, maybe half hour, maybe an hour, even along major highways sometimes, like 94 mm-hmm. or 67. Mm-hmm. And even if you're in, you know, right in the heart of some of these rural towns, I'm not talking about, you know, out of Box Canyon in the middle of nowhere. If the entire state of Missouri can have response times of 7 or 8 minutes, why can't San Diego County strive to do better than this?
We should be doing better than this. There is a way to have a building that offers multiple services. It could be an ambulance or two. It could be a nurse for people to get their blood pressure checked. Mm-hmm. It could be training and development opportunities. We need locations that offer multiple services, kind of like a wraparound approach.
So maybe trauma centers that might be in, say, Alpine or Ramona, or places, I'm not sure if they'll have those now, but in the backcountry so that someone doesn't have to go as far if they're having a medical emergency?
Absolutely. But I would like at least a couple of them because it takes a while to get from Ramona to Campo.
So we maybe also need more ambulances.
Yes, definitely. Okay. Definitely. Because every minute that passes when someone has a heart attack will impact if they're able to get the services they need.
Yeah, basically, the response time we have now, if you have a heart attack in some of these areas, you're going to be dead. There is no way that you can live unless there's someone there to do CPR.
Exactly. And I'm getting a little choked up even just talking about it because I know what it's like to lose a couple of loved ones to a heart attack. It's not about me. It's about us. But I surely don't want it to happen to anyone else. If we could prevent it from happening, we should be there. And this is not billions of dollars we're talking about. This is something that will help improve less ER visits, less opportunities for long-term problems. We need supports in the communities that people live in, and they shouldn't always have to go to Grossmont Hospital and have a loved one trying to take them when they're having heart problems.
Right.
We should have something in their area.
You have talked about interventions in schools to do things like stop bullying and also prevent the school-to-prison pipeline. Can you elaborate a little bit about the county role in those sorts of things?
Okay, absolutely. Now, that program where we were the county program of the year, we had an opportunity to have flexibility in the field of mental health. My title was a behavioral health consultant. Mm-hmm. And we were able to build programs to help kids who were making poor choices do what I consider solutions for success. It's easier to talk about solutions for success instead of bullying. And so with that prevention and early intervention funding that I received from the county, I was able to work with the school districts, community partnerships, create suicide prevention programs, figure out ways to help that student who may have a learning disability get a job instead of making a poor choice because they're trying extremely hard. They just learn differently. It was a program that helped us have vocational opportunities for our youth. And they were able to survive and thrive. And now 20 years later, close to 20 years later, taking care of their family.
Yeah, sounds like a great program.
Oh, yeah.
The county also oversees the criminal justice system and the jails. Mm-hmm. What would you do to reduce the high number of deaths in our county jails and also to address sheriff response times that sometimes are also slow in the most rural parts of the district?
They are. Again, going back to that, ambulances, maybe that's a place we could have the sheriffs too. Sometimes they work hand in hand. Mm-hmm. Why not have them in the same building? But what I will say, as a mental health provider, knowing our jails are the largest mental health program in the county, that's a problem.
Yeah.
We need transparency there. Having specialized training with mental health and physical health issues, I know firsthand most mental health providers do not understand what's considered integrative behavioral health. I was doing it for nearly 7 years. When you have people in our jails who don't have the proper training, they're doing their best, but yet they don't have the resources and the training, we will get more deaths. We need to make sure we have the resources for the staff. However, I'm not saying we need to bump up the budget so we could have more people in jail. We need to prevent people from going there in the first place. It's important for us to support our first responders. My closest friends are first responders. It's important for us to figure out what's working in the jails, what's not. This is not necessarily to blame anybody. It's to create a best practices so people could go to work and be safe. People could be in jail and be safe. It's not to point fingers. I'm about working with everybody to create best practices. If we're not doing that, we don't need to be in the business that we're in.
Supervisor Jacob has long held coffees with the community, revitalization meetings, in just about every town, I think, across her district on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. Is that a tradition that you would commit to continue?
I will definitely continue doing that. I have over 100,000 hours of volunteerism.
Wow.
100,000 hours in my lifetime.
That's impressive.
Starting as a Girl Scout, a Brownie, bridging to juniors, doing volunteerism at Valhalla High School, working across the country with programs. I created the programs in Ramona in the senior center up there. I left, still continue to volunteer. Now they're building the intergenerational program there. I was creating an intergenerational program in Ramona starting in 2010. I've been doing that.
Okay.
I want to build on that because we should have successful aging. Most importantly, I like talking to the people. With my background, I believe in building relationships and sustaining them. I will always have access to the community members when elected, because although I know I'll hire a great staff, I want to make sure I could talk to the people directly.
Very good. Supervisor Jacob has also been known as a champion of creating new parks, trails, open spaces, and also libraries. I would like to ask, you know, your views on the importance of that. Will that continue to be a priority of yours? And related to that, we're hearing from residents in Santee and La Mesa, which are incorporated cities, been trying to build libraries out there, and the cities haven't quite been able to manage it. And some of them have asked, now that we've got so many big, beautiful rural libraries, maybe we don't need to build those in too many more rural communities. Perhaps can some resources be kicked over to help get libraries in their cities.
I want to see more libraries, but I want to see our open space utilized. Now, part of that work I was doing in our backcountry gave me an opportunity to work with community members and take them to Balboa Park, down to Pacific Beach. There's no reason to leave District 2 when we have beautiful open spaces. We have camps. We have opportunities that could be like Balboa Park used to have, where they took the fifth graders.
In other words, getting people from those beach and urban areas to come out and enjoy the open spaces we have in East County.
The open space, the chaparral, going to our camps. Why not enhance tourism in Julian? Why not enhance tourism in La Mesa and the backcountry? Let's get Camp Lockett up and going and do more in Campo. There's no reason to leave District 2. We have so many jewels here. I think we need to build on that and do more. Also with the libraries. I worked in the libraries in 2015 when there was a Hep A crisis. I don't want the libraries just to be an opportunity for people to come in and sit. I want to see learning opportunities, development opportunities, opportunities for business owners to learn more networking opportunities or best practices, but also training opportunities in our libraries. And let's utilize books. I think we have lost a lot of traditions, but I also want to do more with arts and cultural issues, because art, it helps with wellness.
It does. They've done some acoustic concerts in some of the libraries. They've done some art things.
We shouldn't have to go to LA for the next concert, or Ontario, or places. We should have these resources here.
Okay. Listeners, if you've just tuned in, we're speaking with Kenya Taylor, who is one of the four candidates running for supervisor, county supervisor, in the 2nd Supervisorial District. Kenya, who are your major endorsements that you're most proud of, and where can people find more information about you and your candidacy?
Great question. I was honored to receive a number of endorsements. Recently, I received the endorsement from Betty Yee, our state controller, California's chief financial officer. Mm-hmm. But I also have the endorsement of our state president, Tony Atkins, our pro tem.
Of the president of the state senate?
Yes, absolutely. I have the endorsement of assembly member Shirley Weber, of Todd Gloria. Mm-hmm. I have the endorsement of a council member, Akila Weber.
Yeah, in La Mesa.
In La Mesa, absolutely. Having these endorsements gives us more of an opportunity to have existing relationships already, because we must hold not just San Diego County accountable, but we need our elected officials working for us, because we have rural needs in the East that might not pertain to some areas of San Diego, but they need to understand that we deserve more. It's important to visit KenyaForSupervisor.com. That's Kenya, KENYAFOR, Supervisor.com, and read a little bit more about our campaign and our movement, because we are here to make sure that all of us win. And right now we're not winning.
Well, very good. We've talked about a lot of great ideas that you have for new programs and spending priorities. Obviously, resources are always limited. Do you have ideas for either expanding revenues for the county, new revenue sources, or areas in the budget that you would cut to pay for some of these things?
I definitely think we should not have all the money going into the jails as we do, when we could be paying our first responders or county employees higher salaries. I also would like to see more tourism in town. We talked a little bit earlier about the wineries. I would like to see more business development to support those who are interested in expanding wineries or farming opportunities, even journalism opportunities. We need more entrepreneurs in San Diego, but with San Diego being such a lovely town, we need more tourism here in the county, but also I want to see more tourism in District 2 because we have talents and skills. It's time for us to expand the middle class, and we should have more millionaires in District 2 as well.
Well, I like that idea.
All right.
I want to be one of them one of these days, maybe, huh?
Yes, absolutely.
And of course, increasing people's income opportunities, that means a higher tax base for the county without raising anybody's taxes, but it just means that there would be increased revenues coming in for the county from the tourism, from people having better paying jobs and new businesses coming in and paying into the system.
Absolutely. And not to mention, when we create more tourism, we'll be creating more jobs, and it'll be a win-win for everybody. But definitely, we don't need to be raising more taxes.
Okay. Thank you. Kenya, is there anything else that you would like our listeners to know about you or your candidacy or what you hope to do if you're elected to be the next county supervisor?
Absolutely. What I would like to do as your next supervisor is make sure that we all live well, as the county motto is. The county supervisors have money set aside to do pilot projects, invest in opportunities. I want to see some of those businesses or nonprofits or groups who have best practices and outreach to hundreds, if not thousands, of people have more of a seat at the table. There are opportunities for funding. I think people should be funded and their work should be rewarded when they're doing great work. I also want to see more people with subject matter expert skills on our boards and commissions. It's important to get those that have specific expertise in leadership positions so we have the knowledge and skills at the table. I also would love to see a program for women veterans. The year 2020, it's 100 years of a woman's right to vote.
Yes, it is.
It is. This is a special time. But I also want to see those women who served us have more opportunities as business owners and figure out what we could do to support our women veterans. In addition, with San Diego being such a large military town.
Huge
town. As a family with multiple veterans in our extended family, we should have more programs in our Office of Military and Veterans Affairs that support our wounded combat veterans. I don't understand why that hasn't happened yet. In addition, we're living longer. I want aging and independent services funding to be doubled. People are living longer. All of our seniors don't drive. We have people who were exposed to Agent Orange that live in District 2 and have a difficult time driving to La Jolla. If there are ways for us to pair to improve the lives of our seniors, we need to do that. But also, I want to see more seniors have opportunities, if they are ill, to stay in their homes, not have to go to a skilled nursing facility. Everyone doesn't have $5,000 or $8,000 set aside for a skilled nursing facility.
Yeah.
I think people should have dignity and respect. I think we need to build on economic solutions. And I encourage you to vote March 3rd, if not before, for Kenya Taylor for County Board of Supervisors.
Well, I want to thank you very much, Kenya, for taking the time to join us today on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, Descanso 89.1 FM.
Thank you, Miriam, for this time today.